So when I was a foreign correspondent based in Jerusalem, I used to spend a lot of time in a place that spends a lot of time in the headlines around the world, Gaza. That territory, a little strip of land sometimes called the Gaza Strip. If you work in Gaza, if you go to Gaza, you descend into a place like no other. One of the densest places in the world, certainly one of the least politically stable places in the world, and an archive, in a sense, of history, of the Palestinians, and of the uneasy relationship that Israel has with its neighbors. If you can't go to Gaza yourself, you can appreciate and experience some of this dissent by reading a new book called Footnotes in Gaza. It's Joe Sacco's new book. It's a graphic novel. It's based on two moments in Palestinian history that we're going to talk about in a moment, but visually, it is that descent into Gaza. The characters you meet are eerily like the real people that I spent time with back in the 80s. Joe Sacco, author of Footnotes in Gaza, is here in the studio with me. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Good to be here.
You know, it is amazing how much of a descent into the real Gaza that I remember this book is. But let's begin by talking about the historical underpinnings of this story that you tell in Footnotes in Gaza.
Okay. Palestinian refugees came to Gaza, and they started going back. There was a guerrilla war with Israel. And at some point in 1956, Israel, Britain, and France attacked Egypt, and Israel conquered the Gaza Strip at that, which was controlled by the Egyptians, and went into a couple of towns. And the UN, according to the UN, there were large numbers of civilian casualties.
And the story of this book is a character who looks remarkably like you, although not flatteringly so, going around and trying to find the truth of the matter. Is this journalism? And I guess you don't need to carry a microphone if you're a cartoonist in Gaza, right?
I think it is journalism, and I did carry a microphone.
Really?
I mean, I did interview people and taped conversations and all that sort of thing.
And did they know you were a cartoonist, or did they think you were just a journalist?
Well, I introduced myself as someone who was going to do their story in comics, and I showed my previous work about the Palestinians to them.
And your book, Palestine, which won awards, and your book about Garajda, a particularly brutal event in the Bosnian conflict, right?
Right. I showed them the book Palestine, and they would open it up and sort of see what I was trying to do. They could see themselves in a way in the drawings.
And your drawings are realistic. But I think the journey that you're on here reminds me a little bit, and there may be some listeners that go crazy when I say this, but of the work of Art Spiegelman, whose sort of Holocaust work, very stylized, is another attempt to use cartoons to get into a place that maybe feels more true, more raw than the journalism that we see.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm kind of a comrade of Art Spiegelman. That's how I think of myself. We're friends. I think there's a lot you can do with the drawings that you can't do with regular sorts of journalism. I think you can really take a person to a place and to a time. Just like he does, I can take someone back into time also.
And, you know, looking at some of the pictures in here and seeing you against the wall drinking tea and eating chicken and rice and smoking cigarettes endlessly, the smells, the whole experience comes back completely. Are you striving for realism, or do you want people to get a larger point here?
Well, I am striving for realism. I do want people to get a sense of what it feels like there. I want people to feel the taste in the mouth that I had when I was there and sort of feel the dust swirling around their feet in the same way.
But you don't necessarily want them to have much sympathy for the Israelis here. I mean, Gaza is a place that doesn't have many points of view, it seems. There's a lot of factions within Gaza, but as far as the Israelis are concerned, this is one side of a story.
It is one side of a story. I'm telling mostly from the Palestinian point of view, though not entirely. But I don't sugarcoat Palestinians either. I mean, I'm trying to show Palestinians honestly.
Did you enjoy being in Gaza?
I love being in Gaza.
Really?
I like the place. I like the people. I know I can say that out of a sense that there's a luxury that I can get out. But the people are very hospitable. And it's always sort of a privilege to be invited into their homes and hear their stories.
And you know, it seems to me, and I'm familiar with your work, that Gaza is kind of a place that goes with your personality, a sort of a sitting on the fringes kind of guy, maybe soft-spoken, doesn't render his opinions. And when he does, maybe they're a little dark. Did you find anything about Gaza, aside from the story, that was particularly compelling to you?
aside from the story, I think it's just the way people treated me, mm-hmm. the hospitality. Talking about other things also, the black humor.
You know, people talk, we talk on this program a lot, and I'm sure you hear this a lot, that, you know, the media is changing. Forms of journalism are changing. Styles of journalism are changing. We talk a lot about Twitter. Twitter was the first indication of what happened in Haiti, for instance. There's right. a lot of discussion of Twitter in the Iranian Revolution, a place where I can see you easily going to maybe do your next book. But should we also include these forms as well? Many fewer people are writing comics about Gaza than are Twittering, but nevertheless...
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I think the form is here to stay, and I think other people are going to try using the form to do journalism.
And does it matter whether you render your images realistically or, as Spiegelman does, as animal characters?
Well, the interesting thing about doing it in cartoon forms is there are a lot of ways to do it. I mean, Spiegelman anthropomorphized figures, and I'm drawing realistically, but I think both ways work.
Although I think you don't draw yourself realistically. You are the ugliest character in your own books.
And in reality, I'm a good-looking guy.
We will let you go to our website and determine if that is indeed the case. Joe Sacco is the author of Footnotes in Gaza. It is a descent into a place like no other on Earth. Joe Sacco, thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And indeed, if you want to see what that comic book looks like, we have a slideshow for you. It's at our website, thetakeaway.org.
And while you're there, you can sign up for our podcast to catch up on anything you missed or want to re-listen to. One thing you'll definitely want to re-listen to is our interview with Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen. You know, I wish, Joe Sacco, you were with me yesterday at the Pentagon. You could have done a good rendering of him for our website. We have a bonus video for you. Why would Mike Mullen be on Twitter?
To try to be in touch with those a lot younger than I, because they make up the vast majority of the 2.2 million men and women who serve.
Why does the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Twitter? Go to our website to find out. Hint, Mrs. Mullen plays a role, but you can watch all of that.
He cares about his demos.
Yes, indeed.
Apparently.
News breaking this morning, NBC says it has reached a deal with the Tonight Show host Conan O'Brien for his official exit from the show, big surprise, allowing Jay Leno to return to the late night program he hosted for 17 years. And all this morning, we're still talking with you about the Democrats' loss in Massachusetts. We've been hearing for months that Obama needs 60 votes in the Senate to get health care reform passed. So does not reaching that number prevent Congress from making big changes? What does David say? He writes us, the 60-vote rule in the Senate should be changed, but not because it makes health care difficult now, because it gives individual senators too much power. Lewis emails, they should keep the 60-vote rule, but the filibuster rule should go back to speaking for 24 hours. Congress makes everything too easy for themselves. What do you think? I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Miles O'Brien. This is The Takeaway.